Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 21st of May. I'm Paul White. We are in Ruth chapter 2. We are at the moment where Boaz and Ruth have been conversing over a meal, and then she goes back to the fields, and Boaz instructs his workers to let some handfuls fall on purpose. This is his way of saying, miss the bag once in a while so that that crop hits the ground and the gleaner Ruth gets as much of it as she can, because he wants her to be blessed. And this is how the story ends and heads back home. She gleaned in the field. I'm in verse 17 of Ruth 2. She gleaned in the field until the evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. This is Ruth giving Naomi some of the food. Remember, Ruth had ate until she couldn't, until she didn't want any more. But then she had taken a doggy bag of sorts home to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Obviously, Ruth has gathered so much that Naomi is surprised, because think about it. Gleaning is poor work, and you don't get much. I mean, good harvesters aren't going to leave much behind. And so you're basically going in literally for the scraps. This is the Old Testament equivalent of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Remember that moment where Jesus meets the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter's at home sick, and Jesus says, why should I give the children's bread to the dogs? She says, yes, but even the dogs eat the meat from the bread that fall from the master's table. So we get crumbs, and the gleaners, it's sort of like getting crumbs. You know, they you can't expect to live off of gleaning. At least, well, let me say it this way. You can't expect to live well off of gleaning unless you have a Christ character who keeps dropping handfuls on purpose. Because handfuls is a lot more than you could glean a long time and not get one handful. To get handfuls is a favor. So Naomi's question is a good one. Where did you go to get this kind of blessing? So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. That 20th verse reveals something telling about kinsman redemption in a couple of ways. One, Naomi's response to the word Boaz was that God was giving, had not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Notice that phrase, and the dead. In what way is the presence of Boaz God not forsaking his kindness to the dead? We know to the living. I mean, Naomi and Ruth are being provided for. But to say to the dead is to speak back to that levirate marriage, the idea that someone alive takes care of the remaining women in place of someone who has died. And so when she hears the name Boaz, she realizes that's a close relative. The New King James uses the phrase, a close relative. The Hebrew there is, this man is a relation of ours, one of our redeemers, which is an interesting phrase to us in the New Testament world, because we think of redeemer as Jesus buying us out of sin. But the Old Testament idea of redemption is a family member buying another family member, buying it. Particularly levirate redemption, buying the rights to a relationship with someone else so that you raise up seed so that the name of the deceased doesn't cease from the earth. They may be deceased from the earth, but their name doesn't cease from the earth, and what they left behind gets provided for. That's the rights of redemption. It can only be done by a kinsman. When Ruth hears the name Boaz, she realizes that God's being kind to the dead, because God has put a man in their path who is at least close enough of a relative that he can redeem in place of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion that someone can now come along to provide. They don't look at this as coincidence. She doesn't look at this as, wow, what a lucky day. She looks at this as far deeper, that God has moved on their behalf and that a redemption is coming. So Ruth, verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess, and I think that's an interesting piece of literature at the top of verse 21, that the writer of Ruth reminds you again she's Ruth the Moabitess, because don't forget it. It's as if that's being dropped into the story so that you will realize she's not one of the children of God. Everything you've just read is amazing. She's been given favor. She's been given handfuls on purpose. She's been fed until she was satisfied. She's been given a doggy bag to take home. She's been allowed to glean among the reapers. There's nothing she has that should qualify her for any of these preceding blessings. And to remind you of that, the writer says she's Ruth the Moabitess, drops it in again. Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field.'" And that is a telling statement as well. It's Naomi's sage motherly advice to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, saying, "It's good that you found who you found. Don't be found with anyone else. Give your loyalty over to your kinsman redeemer. Don't think that you will profit by going to multiple fields. Stay in the field where the handfuls fall on purpose." There's something to be said for the loyalty of devoting yourself to the kinsman redeemer. It's what Christianity is all about. It's devoting ourselves to the Redeemer, to the Christ who has saved us, that we don't go try. And listen, you may have opportunity to function in the ways of the world by doing things their way, and you might even be able to prosper. But if you want to be true to the kingdom that's been birthed inside of you, flow in the kingdom dynamic. And as you do that, you're being loyal to the field of the Redeemer who has purchased you. We'll close out chapter 2 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.